Welcome to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural. Be the Natural Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, sign up for my newsletter, which is now available on Substack. Now, I've got a very special guest for you today. Robbie Laughlin is a finisher at looseends.org. And if you don't know what that is, hang in there because we are going to explain this to you. And you can find out more about Robbie Laughlin and his wonderful contributions to humanity at looseends.org. And is it looseends.org or looseendsproject.org?
Looseendsproject.org.
Okay, looseendsproject.org. Okay. Welcome, Robbie Laughlin.
Thank you.
So you are tuning in here from Montreal. I'm in Atlanta. The internet is amazing. So Robbie Laughlin, first of all, will you share for our audience exactly what is the Loose Ends Project?
Sure. So the Loose Ends Project is a volunteer database, and it consists of people who are called finishers. And I'm a finisher for Loose Ends. And what you do as a finisher is you sign up to volunteer to finish craft projects that other people couldn't finish. Sometimes it's because they've passed away. Other times it's because they've lost the ability to finish the project. It could be something like Alzheimer's or arthritis that's gotten in their way. But our main goal is to finish those craft projects so that the person's loved ones can enjoy them.
That is so cool. Now, will you share for our audience? I've seen on Instagram, you're really an amazing knitter. My skill set is knit one, purl one. So how did you start knitting? How did that come about?
So I originally learned to knit when I was a child. It was my grandmother who taught me. And I took a little bit more to crochet, actually, originally, than knitting. In my teen years, I sort of stopped. But then in my 20s, in my late 20s, I was working a lot in technology. And because I do things like graphic design and video editing, stuff like that, you don't really touch anything. It's all keyboard, screen, and mouse. And so in my late 20s, I picked knitting back up again, thinking, oh, this would be really good to have something that I could physically connect with that wasn't virtual. And ever since then, knitting's been a huge part of my life. So I write knitting patterns that I publish on the internet. Until we moved recently, I was teaching classes in Toronto on how to knit, and I was teaching in stores and going around places and getting other people knitting and getting them excited about knitting. And so that's sort of the journey that started pushing me in the direction of Loose Ends.
So that's fascinating. So, you know, people talk about high tech, high touch. Why do you think people who work so much in technology need or benefit from having a hobby that uses their hands?
I think when you do a lot of work in technology, it's very much in your head, and it's very easy to feel disconnected from the world around you. Being stuck in front of a computer all day is not how we are meant to live. And so having a hobby, whether that's woodworking, knitting, painting, it doesn't matter. Something that pulls you away from that screen and reconnects you with the tactile world, I think really goes a long way towards making people feel whole again.
So tell us more about that, because so many people all over the world, people listening to this, may be taking a break from a high-tech job. So how does having a high-tech job disconnect you from your heart and body?
Well, I think when we're doing these jobs, we feel pressure. The technology industry, no matter what section of it you're in, there's pressure to produce and perform and to have all these different things going on kind of simultaneously. And we're not meant to multitask in that way. We're meant to focus on one thing at a time. And that's my favorite thing about knitting. I get it in my hands and I can just focus on that one thing and it slows you down. It decompresses you and it forces you to have a more mindful connection with your own body.
Now, you are a finisher for the Loose Ends Project. What led you to discover the Loose Ends Project?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting story. When I was in Toronto and I was teaching knitting classes, there was one particular person who I developed a really wonderful friendship with. Her name was Sandra. And Sandra and I became such great friends. We connected over knitting, but it turned out we had so many other things in common. And that friendship became a really strong part of my life. Unfortunately, Sandra had cancer, and she had cancer the entire time I knew her. And near the end of Sandra's life, she actually asked me if I would take all of her knitting projects for her loved ones and her family and her friends and finish them for her. So it's a bit of a inside joke for everybody who knew Sandra, because I showed up at her celebration of life with this bag full of things that she had started for other people that I finished. And it was shortly after that experience that I realized there's a really great power in being able to give that to somebody, that tactile memory of someone that they love so much. And I was scrolling through something on the internet and Loose Ends came up. And it had to be maybe a couple of days after having that experience that I saw Loose Ends. And I just thought, geez, I need to sign up for that because doing that felt so good.
Now, what exactly is a finisher? So your title with Loose Ends is a finisher. What is a finisher?
Yeah, so a finisher, and maybe to clarify, there are so many finishers around the world, and we're all volunteers. We all sign up to do this. As a finisher, you put your name in the hat, you fill out a form and sign up to this database. And the Loose Ends Project, what they do is they search for people based on location, skill, the type of craft that they know how to do. And they use that information in their database to match us finishers up with somebody who has submitted a project that their loved one couldn't finish. So if you have something in your closet at home that your mother started but never finished, you can go online to Loose Ends, submit that project and get matched up with somebody local or somebody maybe a little bit far, but who has the right skills to finish that project.
That is so cool. Now, what was your first finishing project for Loose Ends?
When I signed up, the thing that they say a lot is you might not get a project right away, because the number of finishers far outweighs the number of projects that get submitted. But it just so happened a couple of weeks after I signed up, someone who was close enough to actually walk to my house to meet me submitted a pair of socks that her friend had started. And so I had these yellow socks that I was knitting on for somebody named Fern. And the socks kind of just traveled with me to and from work every day. I was taking the subway at that time. And a couple of weeks later, we were able to meet back up in person, and she had those socks finished that she could then take away. It was a really beautiful experience.
So tell us the story about the socks. Who originally started the socks, and why wasn't that individual able to finish her sock project?
So it was Fern who started the socks,
Okay.
and she passed away. I don't know the exact details. I try not to pry for that kind of information, but they were left behind. One of them was the entire leg was knit, and the heel had been turned, and just a bit of the foot started, and the other one, just the leg was knit. So I knit half the foot of one sock and the whole foot of the other sock. And those socks, they were just the brightest yellow with little speckles of rainbow color all over them. And it was really nice to be able to finish that, because I know a lot of people, when they have things like this that come across, they donate them to charity or they toss them, and that memory is gone.
So who received the socks? So Fern passed away. She started the socks, then she passed away before she finished it. Who received the socks?
They actually ended up going to Fern's friend, whose name was also Robert.
In the small world department.
Yeah, it was pretty great. So the person who submitted them delivered them to one of Fern's friends as a surprise to cheer him up.
And so what did the socks mean to him?
Well, he was really surprised because he didn't know that they were coming. He didn't know that they existed. So it was a really nice surprise, and it was a fond memory of a friend that he had lost.
That's a beautiful story. And have you heard any more from the other Robert about the socks?
No, just that they were, I had originally heard that how much they were appreciated, and what a nice gesture it was. That was actually a couple of years ago now. I've been finishing for Loose Ends for a couple of years.
Now, as of this recording, I now have 32 years full-time experience in natural healing. And I actually started in natural healing, learning about healing work for the brain. And one of the things that I learned is that there's 54 possible brain profiles. So everybody's brain works a little bit different. Even though we're all human and we all have a brain, just because I have a brain and you have a brain and our listeners have a brain, more than likely everybody's processing a little bit different. So when you come to a craft project, picking up where somebody else left off, that must be an incredible challenge. How does it feel to pick up a craft project where someone else left off?
So I have another story that I'd love to share with you about finishing a different project. I won't name names just because some people like to have that information kept confidential. But there was a sweater that came to me about a year and a half ago. And the woman who started that sweater started knitting it for her husband, and she passed away. And the daughter submitted the sweater, and she was a little bit farther away from me, so it got packed up into a box and sent by postal service to me. And this is probably the most emotional experience I've ever had as a finisher. When I received that box and I opened it up, I was really surprised to find that the project had actually been abandoned mid-row. The death was, it wasn't a timely one. And so I actually had to pick up literally at this exact stitch that she had last finished knitting on this project for. And it was a really emotional experience because I wasn't expecting that. It really caught me off guard. And I had a little moment when I opened that box and made this discovery. where I kind of felt like I wasn't alone. I really felt a strong connection to this person that I didn't know, whose project I was about to finish. And it was perhaps one of the most beautiful projects I've had to finish to date because there was no pattern. So one of the things I've done in the past is writing knitting patterns and doing the kind of math that's involved in sizing them and calculations and things like that. And that's why I was chosen to finish this project. And it turned out that this woman had started the sweater with no pattern, just making it up as she went. And I got the honor of trying to figure out what that vision should look like, sketch it all out, send it off to her daughter, who was thrilled. She said, "Oh, that's going to look so great on Dad. Go ahead." And I went with it. I just ran with it. And I finished this sweater. It was a beautiful cabled sweater. And the interesting finish to that project for me was that when it got back to her daughter, she gave it to her father. And he was so emotionally overcome that he learned how to take a selfie so that he could send it to me.
I'm sure that's got to be one of your favorite photos.
It is. It is. It was such a rewarding thing to find out how much this sweater meant to him. And for me, the act of finishing that sweater, it's just knitting. It's something I love to do. It's something that makes me feel connected to myself and connected to the world around me. I think if you spoke to any knitter, you'd find out that they love knitting for other people. That's why everybody's grandmother has knit or crocheted something for them. And so for me, it's a simple thing. It's something I love to do that passes time and I can do it while I do other things. But for somebody like that, it's a final memory of their loved one and how much that person meant to them.
Very profound. Now you're the finisher. Have you heard from people who received completed objects? How does receiving a completed project help that person heal the grief about losing their loved one?
Yeah, so I have the joy of always hearing from people who I've sent their project back. So I can tell you firsthand that often it provides a sense of closure where closure may not have existed. You know, death or disablement is something that springs on people and it quite often catches them by surprise. And as part of that healing process for whatever grief they're experiencing, sometimes this tactile reminder of their loved one is something that can help ease them through that process because it's a physical thing that connects them back to that person that they're grieving or missing or who isn't the same as they used to be.
Now, the people who receive the completed projects, do you meet with them in person? How do you hear feedback from them?
It's been a variety of ways. So sometimes I get to meet people in person to do the handoff and the pickup. And in that case, I get to talk to them and sit with them and have a coffee and interact with them one-on-one. Sometimes the projects are getting shipped back and forth because the person's a little bit further away. And I think that happens for me a little bit more often because I have the skills necessary to be able to pick up something that's a real puzzle and a head scratcher, which not all the finishers do. And so sometimes I get projects that come from a little further away. And when that happens, I quite often get a card in the mail or a letter or a phone call. Throughout the process of finishing, you do keep in touch with the people you're working with. Sometimes it's by phone, sometimes it's by email, but there's a lot of back and forth. I love to send them pictures of the work as I go because I feel like that eases any discomfort they might be experiencing about having handed this special thing off to a complete stranger.
That's just so beautiful. And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, and we're listening to Robbie Laughlin, who is a finisher for the looseendsproject.org. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
The station that makes you feel good.
Robbie Laughlin, as I mentioned, my first 10 years out of 32 years full-time in natural healing was learning all about how to heal the brain. And so everybody's brain works a little bit differently. So I can't imagine picking up a project, a craft project that somebody else has started and figuring out what was their intention? What are they doing? What are they trying to do? So, and just really sort of figuring out their thought process. What types of challenges can finishing someone else's work pose?
Well, sometimes in the example of that previous sweater, there's no instructions to follow. So you really have to kind of analyze it and guess and make a very educated guess about what was going on. I have had one other experience too that was really special in that the project was a crocheted blanket. And the person who submitted it was the granddaughter of the original crafter. And she actually wanted to be involved in finishing the project. So, in that case, she was a knitter, but she didn't really know how to crochet. And I taught her how to crochet, and we finished the blanket together. So, we went our separate ways and each took pieces of it and worked on them. And kept meeting up over time to add our pieces together to turn this blanket into a whole. And, in that case, I was actually teaching somebody the skill that their grandmother had that they didn't know. So the challenges can be a little bit all over the place. Sometimes, too, I've had projects where what the pattern was telling me should be happening wasn't happening. And so you have to kind of figure out how to get that back on track so that it is happening because, bodies are shaped a certain way and there needs to be enough room for that arm to get in the
So, Robbie Laughlin, I was speaking to a friend of mine recently, and he made a very interesting comment that I completely agree with, which is that love is the fabric of the universe. Love is the fabric of the universe. And so when we really tune in and pay attention, love is what connects us. How does the Loose Ends Project help people to feel loved?
Well, I think there's something even more interesting there, which is as a knitter myself, I can tell you if I'm knitting for somebody I know, while I'm knitting, I'm often thinking about them and I'm thinking about how much they're going to love this thing that I'm making for them because I made it for them. And so the loose ends gives that love back to people because it's already there. It's already in the fabric that of the project that we're starting or working on. When I receive a sweater, it's not me, it's the person who started it that's in that sweater. I can see any little inconsistencies in their tension. I can see any little mistakes that they made. And that's all them. That's all their energy. It's their passion for the person that they were knitting for. And it's the love that went into the act of starting and making that project. So, as a loose ends finisher, what I'm doing is I'm just sealing that up and finishing it off so that that love can go back out into the universe the way it was supposed to.
I love that. And I know when I make crafts, I almost always make a mistake. But that's also part of the beauty of art, right?
Yeah, and it's what makes something handmade special, because that little mistake or that thing that you did differently, that's you.
Yes. Now, I'm sure people listening who are into crafts will be like, oh my gosh, I've got to sign up to be a finisher. And as you said, there's more finishers than projects that need to be finished. If someone wants to submit a project to be completed, how do they go about submitting a project to be completed?
Yeah, at this point, the easiest thing to do would be to just Google Loose Ends Project, and it'll take you right to their website. And on their homepage, you'll see that there's two forms that you can fill out. There's one that says become a finisher, and there's one that says submit a project to be finished. And when you go to that submit a project to be finished, what you do is you fill out the form. If you have the ability, take a few pictures of the item in question so that you can upload them when you're filling that form. And as soon as you submit that form, it goes into an active database where it gets matched with someone. They try to match people who are geographically closest so that projects don't suffer the perils of being shipped long distances, because we all know what postal services are like. But sometimes that's not possible. Sometimes the person who has the skill you need is not right near you. Either way, what happens is once you submit that project, they call the database and they find finishers. And as a finisher, what happens on my end is I receive the submission with a note from Macy or Jen. And they say, hey, we've got this project and we think you're a good match for it. Here's all the details. What do you think? And so, as a finisher, you get all the information, and then you evaluate your ability to complete that project and you respond. And from there, you get matched up and you get introduced. And that's the start of that relationship.
And Macy and Jen are the co-founders of the Loose Ends Project.
That's correct, yeah.
Now, I know that you all, the Loose Ends Project finishes knitting projects, crochet products, projects, and quilting projects. Are there other projects? What kind of other kinds of projects that they finish?
Yes, so the criteria for having a project finished is basically that it's some kind of textile art that would be done by hand. So, sewing, embroidery, knitting, crochet. There are even people who do things like tatting and punch needling. So, it's really, there's an open-endedness about it, and you're encouraged to submit your project as long as it's a textile handcraft. It'll be considered, because there are finishers all over the place who have all sorts of skills. And as you sign up for a finisher position of volunteering, you specify those skills when you sign up. So it's quite possible that no matter what it is, someone out there somewhere knows how to do it.
Now, do you have a favorite memory of handing back a finished project?
I have, yeah, there's so many, but the one that stands out the most for me is finishing this sweater for someone who was still alive, which is a little bit different. Most of the things I've finished have been for people who have passed. And in this case, the person who I was finishing for, her son submitted this sweater. It was, she wanted to do one last sweater for him. She was much older, and she wanted to do one last sweater for him. She took him, they picked out the pattern and the wool together, and it was a really beautiful, complicated Norwegian sweater. The style where they have the big fancy opening at the front with the interlocking clasps and all the color work. And it was such a beautifully done piece. And it really needed kind of minimal finishing on my part. Like there were a lot of little details to finish and things like finishing up the sleeves and doing the collar and all the finishing work that sewing in ends and seaming and bits like that. But she was so happy to have that sweater back for her son. And it was really lovely. They were far away, so I got a picture of the two of them hugging in an email. And to know that she was actually able to see the project get finished was very special, because I think it helped her feel good about having that sweater, rather than having it be something that was unfinished that she had to look at that reminded her that she couldn't finish it. It was now on her son where it was supposed to be.
Beautiful story. And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, and we're listening to Robbie Laughlin, a finisher for the Loose Ends Project. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Robbie Laughlin, your day job, if you will, is graphic design, video editing, working on computers. In your experience and your opinion, what health challenges do high-tech workers tend to have that knitting can actually solve?
I think there are a variety of things that technology workers experience, one of which is being very sedentary in your office chair, not moving around so much, and kind of being hunched over in front of your screen and your mouse and your keyboard. Knitting is something that's really portable. You can take it with you anywhere. You can sit on the couch and do it. You can go outside and sit in the park and knit. And so I think knitting kind of encourages a more relaxed body posture. It encourages you to move your hands in a different way and maybe to be more relaxed in your whole being. And that's something that we don't experience sitting at a desk.
Certainly. Now, how now your work as a finisher is essentially volunteer work. And so many of us find trouble finding meaning in our life. And one of the top three ways to be happy is to actually have purpose and meaning in our life. From your experience as a finisher for the Loose Ends Project, how does volunteer work help you?
It helps in a lot of ways. I think it helps me feel like I've done something good in the world that isn't just about, pushing things forward. Sometimes it's good to do things that help people take a step back. It's good to do things that help people feel connected, and it's good to have a connection with people and to do something that isn't selfish. Something that actually benefits somebody and puts a smile on their face, it actually makes you feel really good to do that. And being a finisher is kind of the ultimate way to experience that, I think, because what you're giving people is, it isn't just, a meal or a smile. It's actually something that they can cherish and hang on to for a lifetime. And the meaning in that act is something that I think it's really hard to match elsewhere.
Yeah, it's not just contributing money or volunteering at the soup kitchen.
Yeah. You're giving somebody a memory and something tactile for a loved one, and that has no price tag. There is no price tag for that type of gift. And it's something that's really special. And it actually feels like such an honor to be able to do that for somebody else and to be able to have that precious feeling that they get to experience. You get to be a part of that too. You get to feel good about how they're feeling and how they react and how much it means to them.
What would you say to someone considering submitting a project? So let's say they've gotten to a point in their life where maybe they've got a health challenge and they're not able to finish their handiwork, or they're a family member who's lost a loved one and they're looking at this big bag of yarn and an unfinished project.
Well, if it were for somebody who's still around who can't finish their own project, I would say submit it now. Because if you do it, we get probably some more information, and it's more likely that there'll be fewer challenges in having your project actually finished. One of the pitfalls that can happen is sometimes the person submitting the project doesn't know anything about the craft and doesn't know what they have and what they're holding on to. And so if you have that information and you're the crafter, please submit it now. Get that information in with your project because it will go a long way towards making it be a success. But for people who are handing in a project that was started by their loved one, I would say do it anyway. Someone out there will figure it out. And the best thing you can do is just take a lot of photos and tell the person whatever you possibly can. Because in my experience, the projects do get finished. And as we said before, there are so few projects and so many finishers. And there's a whole world full of people who are just willing and ready and waiting to do this. So I wouldn't hesitate for one second to submit that project, no matter who you are.
Now, what would you say to someone considering becoming a finisher?
I would tell them to just go fill out that form right away and know that you might not hear something for a while. If you don't, that's actually a good thing because it means you're not needed. If we're needed, there's always a reason, and it's never a good one. However, when the project does come your way, it's going to be one of the most rewarding experiences you've ever had. And just knowing that you're out there and willing and waiting and ready to do this wonderful thing for somebody it's one of the best things you could possibly do. You really won't regret it.
Now, you've mentioned that you've been a finisher for the Loose End Project for several years now. How has being a finisher shaped you?
It's changed me quite a bit, actually. It's caused me to think more about other people. This is an act that you can't take lightly, right? You're taking something precious from a complete stranger and they're trusting you with it. And so that's having that relationship with people has caused me to stop and think more about how my actions might actually affect other people and what things can I put out into the world that do good for others. And a prime example of that is when I take a project to finish. Even though it's not requested necessarily, I keep in regular contact with that person so they know that it's not just sitting there, it's getting done. I love sending pictures because I love hearing back that they're getting excited to see that it's coming near to being done. And so I think being a finisher, it changes you a lot because it really forces you to see things from other people's ex perspective.
Beautiful. Now, one of the things I have learned is that there's three ways to be happy in life. The first way is physical pleasure. So that would be moving your body in enjoyable ways, like going for a walk, for example, or eating food that you really enjoy. The second way to be happy in life is what's called soul satisfaction. And what's soul satisfying to one person could be going to your local knitting shop and sitting with your friends and knitting for a couple of hours, or somebody else that might be watching football on a Sunday afternoon or having a beer. And again, the last way to be happy in life is with life meaning, which is about making the connection between your own actions and your own life and contributing to the greater good. So, how, in your opinion, does loose ends contribute to the greater good and really empower people to get in touch with life meaning?
Well, that's a very easy question to answer. I think loose ends is a platform and a vehicle to connect people so that they can actually do that greater good on an extremely personal level with someone that they've never met before. And doing that, you really. The greater good that you're serving is something that you can't even comprehend until you've done it a couple of times. The first few times I finished projects, I kind of thought, well, that was cool. I think I'd definitely do that again. But as you keep doing it, you start to realize that this is a skill that people hand down from one to another. It's my grandmother who taught me how to knit, for example. And so, in finishing a project for somebody else, I'm not just sealing off their legacy. I might be sealing off generations of legacy. It might have been their mother or their grandmother or their great-great-grandmother who started knitting as the tradition in the family, for all we know. And so, when you start to think about it, in those terms, this is generational knowledge. And as we move forward in a highly technological world, that generational knowledge is kind of getting lost. And so being able to be an active part of preserving it and keeping it and sharing it with others, it's not really something that you can quantify in any way because it's so much bigger than yourself.
Beautiful. And, I'll just say for myself, I get so much soul satisfaction out of listening to people like yourself who've really figured out some really important things in life. And I get so much meaning in life by sharing really important information with people all over the world. This show has 46,000 listeners at last count every week in 54 countries on 15 podcast platforms. So, Robbie Laughlin, any final thoughts for our audience?
Yeah, I would say, there might be some people out there who aren't crafty. And I want to talk to them for a second and say that you should maybe consider that as a thing you might try. Having been a person who teaches knitting classes and passes these skills on to others, I would say that one last thing I would put out into the universe is that more of us need to do these things. More of us need to be creative to feed our souls. And whether that's knitting or painting or woodworking or playing a musical instrument, I think everybody really benefits from having a creative outlet that they can put themselves into and produce things that make themselves happy, that make others around them happy. And that creativity is, I think, one of the sort of connecting themes that people have. Everybody loves art, everybody loves music, and everybody loves having something handmade. And if you haven't tried any of those things, maybe you should, because you might enjoy them.
Very profound message. You've been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. You can find out more about me at katherinekerrigan.com and unlimitedenergynow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter, which is now available on Substack. Our guest today is Robbie Laughlin, a finisher for looseendsproject.org when he's not editing videos and designing graphic design in his paying job. And remember that love really is the fabric of the universe. And when we connect with meaning with others, we heal ourselves naturally. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.